Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have to admit, the timing of this sermon and this epistle reading could really not be any more perfect. The adult Bible class just finished working our way through the book I Am a Church Member last week, a book which is all about what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, the church. And then just this morning, we reviewed that same subject from a more Lutheran perspective to understand more fully this gift we have been given. We are members of Christ's body. And thanks to this gift, we receive countless more gifts every day and every week as we are connected to one another in this body and receive the nourishment of God's holy word, mutual encouragement and consolation in worship, and as today, the feast of the body and blood of our risen Savior in the sacrament of the altar. We have been given a wonderful gift. However, sometimes I don't think that we fully appreciate this gift we have been given, or perhaps how fragile this gift, the body of Christ, truly is. Too often, the body of Christ does not behave as such. Too often, we experience the struggles and tragedy of disunity. Now, let's look at first at what it means for a body to have disunity. And as our parish nurse or the various nurses in our parish could tell you, there are any number of medical maladies which could cause quote-unquote disunity within the body. The first one that comes to mind for me is Crohn's disease, which is when the body's immune system decides that it really doesn't like its small intestine. Small intestine or large intestine? Small intestine. In fact, one of my friends from college, who is now a pastor in Illinois, suffers from Crohn's disease. Or another example is autoimmune diseases. When the body's immune system, which is supposed to fight off infections, decides that the body is an infection and attacks specific parts of the body, that's another example of what disunity would look like in the body. Perhaps a stroke is another example, a disconnection between the hemispheres of the brain or between the brain and part of the body. All of those things are not good. All of those things cause difficulty within the body. And the same thing can happen within a church. Perhaps there are disagreements over mission. Something which goes all the way back to about 50 AD or so, when Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement over their mission work. In Acts 15, we read, "Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark," you know him as the gospel according to St. Mark, "but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." Mark suffered from homesickness and decided to go back to Jerusalem instead of continuing with them. And so Paul doesn't trust Mark. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of God. Barnabas and Paul, who seemed like such tight friends from the moment that Paul reached Jerusalem after his conversion, separate because Mark got homesick. Or perhaps people withdrawing from service in a congregation. People choose to leave the church or choose to stop serving, and it causes struggles within the body. Perhaps doctrinal disagreements cause disunity. How often have people left a church over a doctrinal disagreement? In fact, the Lutheran Church itself is an example of this, as a disagreement arose between Martin Luther and the Lutherans and the Roman Catholics over the doctrine of justification. Do we need to do something to earn God's favor, or does God give it to us freely? Luther said God gives it to us freely, and he was cast out of the church. Perhaps worship is where the disunity comes in. The old saying, wine, women, and song. Wine, communion, women, how women serve in the church, song, how we worship. Any of those things can cause disunity and division. And when a body is at odds with itself, it just plain can't work, whether it is a human body or Christ's body. And yet, despite any of these maladies, despite any of this disunity, the body still remains one. What Paul says in Galatians 3:28 remains true. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are one body, no matter what happens. In Ephesians 2, he lays it out even more clearly. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ's blood drew us near, drew us together, flows through the veins of his body, the church. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility, reconciling us to himself, and through himself reconciling us one to another. Through Christ, those examples of disunity are reconciled. It's not easy, but Christ does it. We are members of the body of Christ. As Paul says so many times in his letters, we are one in him. In Romans 12, he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Our becoming members of Christ's body is not a decision that we make. It is the will of God worked in us and through us in baptism. In our baptism, we are brought together, knit together into a single body, one with another. That is where so many get it wrong. We don't choose to join Christ's body any more than your arm could choose to be a part of your body. This arm really isn't going anywhere. It's part of my body, whether I like it or not. In the same way, we are Christ's body, not because of a decision we make, but because of his action in us. The ancient Eucharistic prayer in the Didache, or teaching, one of the most ancient examples of Christian worship, describes the bread in Holy Communion this way. Even as the broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let thy church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into the kingdom. The many come together to become one. The many pieces of grain, or grains of wheat rather, come together to become one piece of bread. The many grapes go into a single cup, many grains of wheat into a single loaf. The many become one. In communion in the church, both places, it holds true. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The many become one. That is the perfect way to describe the church. As we participate in the body of Christ, we are united together as one. We have all passed through the one baptism which unites us in the death and resurrection of Christ, making us together members of his body. As we worship together, our voices are united as one, singing praises to our one God and Father. As we confess our faith, our voices are united as one, speaking together what Christ, our head, has done for us, his body. As we receive his body and blood in a few minutes for the strengthening of our faith and forgiveness of our sins, we announce together our unity as one body in this congregation, with the other congregations of the LCMS, with a church throughout the world for whom we pray, and even with the church triumphant, those who have passed from earthly life to the eternal life in Christ's nearer presence, where they can see just what Christ's body really looks like in all its glory. Truly, the body of Christ is a wonderful thing, and you are a member. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.